Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. We invite you to get involved by calling 994-1017. That's 994-1017 and get into all of the action. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. All right, I want to start off by talking a little bit of drag racing. J.R. Todd joined the list of winners in both Nitro classes when he won Funny Car during the Toyota NHRA Sonoma Nationals. Steve Torrance was victorious in Top Fuel, Tanner Gray in Pro Stock, and Lee Tongle in Pro Stock Motorcycle were also victorious in the 15th of 24 events for the 2017 NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Schedule. J.R. Todd powered his first career Funny Car victory Sunday in the 30th annual Toyota NHRA Sonoma Nationals at Sonoma Raceway. That was the 15th of 24 events on the schedule for this season. And I can't believe how fast they're racing through the season, pardon the pun. Todd clinched his victory with a 4.049 pass at 323.27 in his Toyota Camry against Tim Wilkerson, who went up in smoke in the final round as his Shelby Mustang expired. The victory makes Todd the first African-American to win in the NHRA funny car category. He also becomes the second driver in NHR history to win at Sonoma in both categories. The first was, of course, Don Prudhomme, and everybody remembers Prudhomme. What an amazing talent. Todd sits ninth now in the standing while Ron Kapp stays in third despite a first-round exit. Matt Hagen and Beckman round out the top three in the point standing. Torrance piloted his dragster past Antron Brown's dragster in the final with a pass of 3.784 at 329.42. He now has six victories on the season and 14 in his career. Points leader Torrance defeated Troy Coughlin Jr., Doug Collada, and Brittany Force before the final round. Brown piloted his dragster past Troy Bluff, Scott Palmer, and Terry McMillan for four, facing Torrance and moving ahead of his teammate Leah Pritchard for the number two spot in the point standing. In Pro Stock, rookie Gray drove to a victory with a 6.5272 run at 210.05 in his Chevy Camaro to defeat points leader Bo Butner in the finale. This is his second victory of the season and fourth final round appearance. Gray remains third in the standing while Butner stays in first following his runner-up showing. Tongling finished atop Pro Stock Motorcycle Field with a 6.783 pass at 197.02 and his Nitro Suzuki to narrowly defeat Matt Smith in the final round after securing his first Mickey Thompson Tires Pro Bike Battle title on Saturday. He notched his fifth national victory of the season and 15th of his career. Tongle remains the points leader while Craig continues to hold on to the second position. What's fascinating is, I've been thinking a lot because all of a sudden, I mean, August got here, and all of a sudden we're doing football. On Thursday, we had the Hall of Fame game, and I had no idea. I mean, it was all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, we're carrying the game Thursday, and I'm like, what game? And it's already, we're already to football. And so I was thinking a lot about, careers and the pricing and different things, and started to, contrast kind of racing versus other levels of pro sports. And, there's less interest. We all know it. There's less interest in motorsports, which, I'm a huge fan, of course, because I talk about it every Saturday. But compared to other sports, the careers are so much longer. Just take drag racing, for instance. You've got a tremendous opportunity to race in different types and longer in your career. Even in NASCAR, IndyCar, I mean, you look at Helio Castroneves, I mean, he still seems like a young guy, but he's been at it for a while. It's absolutely amazing. But probably one of the most amazing feats in sports to me is John Force. I mean, John Force still gets in, you know, the funny car and still gets it done. He's still competitive. I mean, it's 16 championship, national championships. Absolutely amazing. Well, it's almost impossible to track drag racing, of course, without talking about Yearwood Performance. I mean, since 1968, they've been getting it done. Your home for go-fast parts, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. And I tell you, that is actually the key. I mean, because, you know, we can all throw some parts at something. I mean, I'm probably one of the worst trying to throw some parts on it. But going in there and getting the expertise because, of course, you know, standing around the counter, you hear a lot of things and, you know, buying parts and bringing parts back. They actually know what's going on. So whether you're going to the east side or the west side, it doesn't matter. You got the expertise. You can, you know, Jim and his crew up at 341 Eubank or at 9674 here at Eagle Ranch Road. Of course, Ted could hook you up. No longer open on Sundays, guys. So, you know, just keep that in mind. You got to get all your parts today if you're heading out to the track. Of course, that's Yearwood Performance. Buy local, save time and money. YearwoodPerformance.com. And as far as the local drag racing scene, of course, ABQ Dragway continuing to get it done. Last night had a street-to-strip event, including the Mopar Club, came out. But going on today, you can go out there. Gates open at 4 o'clock, is the National Dragster Challenge. Now, what's really cool about that, it's a full bracket race, bonus points, and, of course, you can come out and win a Wally. As well as the Outlaw 8.5. Now, a Wally trophy, of course, is the gold trophy that you get for winning a sanctioned NHRA event. So this is a sanctioned event. You want to come check it out. But the remainder of August, you got two more chances at a street to strip. $20, bring your car out, and you can settle it. That's right. You get a time ticket. So you can settle whose car is faster out there without getting a big ticket on the streets. So get out there and check that out. Make sure you can do that. Gates open at 6 o'clock. Friday the 18th, Saturday the 26th. You got two chances to get it done before, of course, the big Labor Day bash. This is going to be featuring the Real Outlaw Door Slammers, Jack Cars, and the Outlaw 8.5s. They're going to be getting it done on Friday and Saturday, September 1 and 2. So you want to mark down your calendar for that. You want to pick up a schedule, you just go to abqdragway.com and see everything that's going on. All right, let's talk some drag racing up in Seattle as they continue on the West Coast swing. Steve Torrence led last night's qualifying in the top fuel category for the 30th annual NHRA Northwest Nationals up at Pacific Raceway. Robert Height and Bo Butner led their divisions with a provisional qualifying in the 16th of 24 events in the 2017 NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Points leader Torrence piloted his dragster to a 3.791 second run at 324.75. He is seeking his third number one qualifier of the season after coming off a win in Sonoma. Brittany Forrest followed closely behind Torrence with her Monster Energy dragster after a 3.792 at 323.89. Tony Schumacher and the U.S. Army dragster is currently third with a pass of 3.802 at 322.96. Height, who started the Western Swing two races ago to a win in Denver, powered his Chevy Camaro SS to the top of Funny Car during the second qualifying session with a run of 3.894 at 329.42. He's looking for a second consecutive number one qualifier. Tommy Johnson Jr. is second in his Charger TA with a pass of 3.93 at 324.05, while 16-time, that's what I said, 16-time champion John Force is third with a pass of 3.93 at 307.23 in his Chevy Camaro SS. Pro Stock Butner, the category leader, had a pass of 6.584 at 209.36 in his Chevy Camaro during the second session to lead the field. He is chasing his fourth number one qualifier of the season and seventh of his career. Drew Skillman holds the second position in his Chevy Camaro after his pass of 6.603 at 208.84. Rookie Tanner Gray follows in third in his Chevy Camaro with a pass of 6.612 at 208.75. All right, we're going to go out. We're going to talk some road racing with NASCAR, joining us with the racing experts on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is William Byron, driver with number 9 Liberty University Chevrolet. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio, Albuquerque, 1017 The Team.
Attention retirees and pre-retirees, if you would like to receive a second opinion on your investment, retirement, and lifetime income plan, call our local Oxford Wealth Advisors firm today. Our firm specializes in working with investors that are 55 years and older. Call Oxford Wealth Advisors to schedule your free initial consultation and take the first steps toward your financial future. 505-891-9800. That's 505-891-9800. Proud sponsor of UNM Lobos.
Houston Wholesale Cars has won Best Used Car Dealership from Albuquerque the Magazine the last 6 years for a reason. They offer the very best clean, quality cars at the lowest possible prices. Their motto is Shop Smart, Buy Smart. Houston Wholesale is able to buy in volume, which enables them to sell in volume with a lower profit margin due to lower overhead. Houston Wholesale Cars, Albuquerque the Magazine's Best of the City, 6 years running. Lomas near Washington. Visit HoustonWholesaleCars.com.
You wouldn't overwater your elephant. It's wasteful, and it's not good for the elephant. For the same reason you wouldn't overwater your yard. We've done a great job saving water, so let's keep it up and keep watering by the numbers. 1 day per week in March, 2 days per week in April and May, 3 days per week in the summer, and ramp down in the fall. No sprinklers from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and don't forget to water your trees. That way, Albuquerque and your elephant will have plenty of water and plenty of trees for years to come. A message from the Water Authority.
You pick 'em and win at San Felipe Casino. Select 5 envelopes every Sunday for your chance to win up to $1,200. Drawing times are at 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Crazy 8th is happening on the 8th, 18th, and 28th of August. Come join us for point multipliers and loyalty play. See Players Club for full details. And don't miss the Mayweather versus McGregor fight on August 26th. Tickets are $10 at the showroom door. This is an 18 and over event. San Felipe Casino, I-25, exit 252.
So when Car Crafter says like it never happened, what does it mean?
Well, it's kind of like instant replay in sports.
So, my team just fumbled in the fourth quarter, replay, like it never happened.
Yeah, I suppose.
Opposing team scores, my team loses. Wait, replay, no goal, like it never happened.
Well, I don't know about that.
I need to take my wrecked car to Car Crafters.
Now there is something they can make like it never happened.
Car Crafters, it's like it never.
Marathon Mechanical Services goes the extra mile to keep your plumbing, air conditioning, and drains running smooth. From AC conversion and tankless water heaters to 24-hour AC plumbing and drain repair. Call Marathon Mechanical, 366-1785, 366-1785.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
Buggity, buggity, buggity. This is Darrell Waltrip, 3-time NASCAR champion, and you're listening to David Swope on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And I tell you, it was a long and brutal season up until last weekend when Kyle Busch finally got his victory at Pocono. And, you know, along the way, I mean, we all know, I mean, you love certain drivers, you hate certain drivers, and Kyle Busch is one of those guys. Either you love him or hate him. And I tell you, I was almost relieved. I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of his just because of the way he goes about doing things. Of course, I was at Phoenix when he punched Logano, which was very entertaining. But I tell you, I was a little relieved because of all the rhetoric that had been coming out of him. So I'm finally, I'm happy actually, but we can move on. But what's amazing is how much has shuffled things up, because now Kyle Busch, I think we're going to be watching the Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. show for the rest of the season, and it might go all the way down to Miami and be decided between those two of us. But joining us right now is Tyler Head, one of the experts over at theracingexperts.com. How are you doing this morning, Tyler?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, as Kyle Busch would say, everything's great.
Yeah. Hey, as a matter of fact, did you pick up one of those T-shirts for $22 by chance?
I haven't yet, but it's very tempting. That's a really smart thing that they've done there.
Absolutely. I tell you what, the Brickyard was definitely more entertaining for all the wrong reasons. But how amazing was that to see the two leaders take each other out like that?
Well, it was, just to throw out a cliche term, it was a game changer, and everything up until that moment in the race was business as usual, and then after that, it was calamity, as we all saw, which it was needed a change of pace, I think. Maybe not exactly what, the people putting on the race were looking for, but nonetheless, it did mix things up.
Yeah, well, and I do think it's a good start. I mean, there's a lot of talk, which is absolutely amazing when you compare and contrast NASCAR to other sports. In no other sport have I ever known that they change rules as much in the middle of the season or listen to as much fan input as really happens there. And so that's a good and a bad. But let's talk about a couple of headlines that are actually out this week. No more overtime rule. I mean, what's your thoughts about going back to the traditional green-white checkered?
Well, and this is interesting. I asked Brennan Poole and Cole Custer, they're regulars in the Xfinity Series. They're making their way on up to be the next stars of the sport, or at least they appear to be on that track.
Absolutely.
And they said, yeah, and they said, well, actually, we like racing against the Cup drivers. We like being able to compare ourselves to them, see where we are, have them push us to be better. But at the same time, they both acknowledged, well, it seems like the fans like it better when it's just us young guys, people trying to make a name for ourselves, going at it. They seem to like that product more. At least there's the perception of that. So they understand where NASCAR's, I'm on a completely different topic here.
Hey, no,
overtime
line. Go ahead and finish the thought there, and we'll come back to the overtime line. But it's funny because you were reading my notes, and that was where I was going to go. But that's absolutely true. And I'd love to hear your side because I think I might have the other side.
I was thinking one headline from the other.
Exactly, no worries.
But they're saying for next year they're going to have fewer races that Cup drivers with five or more years of experience are going to be eligible for next year. And then during the playoffs, nobody earning Cup points, regardless of experience, is going to be able to race in the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series. It's a further limitation from where they've been in the past, and the drivers, at least in the Xfinity garage, seem to be acknowledging that they're trying to strike a balance between having those Cup guys, being able to develop young drivers in comparison to them, and also trying to put on an entertaining show.
Well, and so to your point, I think that it is a necessary evil. When we start talking about the economics of it all, and to have interest, people that come out to the track and pay the tickets to sit in the seats, want to see the stars, and they understand that there's the stars and then there are guys that are running for points. The situation I think that is difficult though, for the younger teams is actually the money, is actually the earnings. Those teams mm-hmm. need that money. And so, by the Cup guys actually, picking up the money for the wins, I think is affecting those other teams. If there was a charter system likewise in Xfinity, I think that might help balance that out because then the teams, the other teams with the Cup drivers don't necessarily walk away with that money. But I think that it's a plus and a minus, and that's one of those that I think is like less important necessarily. And of course, back to Kyle Busch. I mean, he calls it the Kyle Busch rule that they further restrictions in the lower series are mainly just to penalize him because he's winning everything. I don't necessarily agree with that. What are your thoughts on just the economic side of having the Cup drivers in the Xfinity Series?
Well, speaking of Kyle Busch, in an interview earlier this week, he said if they keep coming back on this and saying, I can't race on my team in the Truck Series, or he used to have a team in the Xfinity Series, now he races for Joe Gibbs. But if I can't race my own trucks, I'm going to shut down my team, because, A, that's one of the reasons why I have the team in the first place, is I like racing, I want to go race, and B, if I'm not in the truck, if I'm not bringing the sponsorship dollars that come with my name, my recognizable face, the team can't sustain itself, and that's all playing into the economics of what you were talking about there. It's really difficult, especially in those lower series where there's less money being pulled around, stirred around in the pot there. They have enough there for teams to have the resources that they need to race. So it's a really difficult thing that the sport, the teams, and all the people working on it have to try to balance.
Absolutely, and I think that's probably the untold story of it. Is the economics. They've got to balance the viability and economic viability. So, okay, let's shift back and let's go back to the overtime rule. I was surprised for them to move so quickly on it. I don't think it was necessarily at all that bad. It didn't affect as many races as maybe they were talking about, but I think it was a good move. The overtime rule didn't really necessarily make any sense. Since the dawn of time, the race is always finished at the start finish. And so I think that's good. What's your thoughts on them actually making a quick move on moving that overtime line back to the start finish?
I agree with you. It's a good move. It simplifies things. And I'm going to say that I was trying to follow NASCAR's lead and just move on from the overtime line, try to forget that it ever happened, because it seems like what they're trying to do at this point, which is not a bad thing. We're going back, like you said at the top, to more so like the green-white checkers have passed, where once the leader reaches the start-finish line and takes the white flag, the next flag ends the race. Most of us can understand that system. The one little wrinkle here is, though, because of the way that the overtime line is worded, and this is still the overtime line, just in a different place, instead of being limited to one or three attempts like they were in the past, there's going to be unlimited attempts to try to get to that start-finish line, take that white flag now.
Well, I think that they have to look at the other "we ran out of sunlight" rule, because that's really the other thing that was coming into play at Indianapolis. Is if they wouldn't have had the opportunity to wait a second until Casey Kane actually made it to that line, which there was a lot of talk about the yellow should have come out before that. But when you run out of light, I mean, they probably had a few generators around there, but not enough to go all the way around that 2.5 mile track. It was going to be crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you don't have lights already set up permanently, like they just added in Martinsville and in a few other places, if you're in Indianapolis Motor Speedway and you don't have lights going all the way around a 2.5 mile track, you're not going to be able to race once the sun's down.
Absolutely. So let's talk Watkins Glen, second road course on the circuit, and they're going to get it done up there. What are some of the storylines that we're looking at going into Watkins Glen?
Well, I think we only have 5 races until the playoffs start. And that's 5 more opportunities for people who are on the outside looking in to pick up the victory, put themselves in the playoffs. And that's 5 races where the Chase Elliotts, the Jamie McMurrays, the Matt Kenseths, and the Clint Bowyers of the world, those drivers that are sitting right on or just below the cutoff line to make the playoffs, are biting their fingernails and hoping that they win or somebody else who already has won wins again. But this is a weekend that presents a really good opportunity for people like AJ Allmendinger or even Joey Logano, who has won this year, but it doesn't count because the win was encumbered because of a post-race tech issue. This is a place that he's won before. He could maybe pick up another win, have that one count, put himself in the playoffs. But again, that's something that these guys that are right on the cutoff line would rather not see happen.
Well, and of course, you have 8 Cup drivers that are in today's Xfinity race there at Watkins Glen, including Joey Logano. And I'm sure that the team is doing everything they can. All the resources are probably extra resources, because I'm sure they've got plenty over there at Penske, all going to see Joey Logano get that victory. There's a lot of other really good drivers in the field. Brad Keselowski does very well at that circuit as well, but I wouldn't be surprised to see another first time winner, because you do got Joey Logano sitting out there with that encumbered win to really shake this up. Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, all the talk is, you know, when do they, where do they think he could get one and get himself in the playoffs, just like Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon did in their final seasons. Is Michigan probably that track?
Michigan's a good track for him. I mean, most recently he won there, if my memory serves me right, 2012, I'm pretty sure that he won there.
Yep.
I would also look at Bristol. Bristol's a place that, he has said that he really enjoys racing, at, and he has strong runs there, pretty much throughout his career. Obviously, we can remember he won the night race in 2004. And that being a place where things can also get mixed up a little bit, you can have the opportunity to take advantage of somebody else's mistake if you're not quite the driver at that point and still find a way to get to victory. So I'd keep an eye on Bristol, too.
Yeah. I was just taking a look at A.J. Allmendinger, where he's at. It's like 27th in points, 317. I don't mean to chuckle at him. That's not the point. But, I mean, if he was to get up there and get that, what a shakeup. I mean, you're going to have some pretty significant drivers that are out. Junior, Logano, Clint Bowyer, Matt Kenseth, Jamie McMurray. What an incredible season that Jamie McMurray has continued to have. Chase Elliott. I mean, they could all be potentially on the outside. I mean, this is pretty much unprecedented. I mean, if Danica Patrick could even jump up there and make a mess out of it. I mean, she's probably got more track time than anybody at Watkins Glen that's in the field, sitting there at 28th in points and only 310 total points with only one top 10 on the season. Man, that would be that might be the story of the season if Danica Patrick would get a victory at Watkins Glen.
And it might be the story of the year, or at least for a few weeks. I know that would be something
we've
talked
yeah.
about for quite a while.
Right. Absolutely.
But we've seen that she's capable at these road courses, obviously coming from that open wheel pedigree before transitioning to NASCAR. There was a race up in Montreal that she was, was within their grasp. And then, of all things, a shoe on the track derailed her path to victory. So we know that she has the ability on these road courses. It'd just be a matter of having a bunch of things fall in the line for it.
So, of course, there's talk in 2018 having a road course in the playoffs. I mean, is that a reality? I mean, is that really going to happen in Charlotte? They're going to be able to do a road course in the playoffs?
That's the plan. They've come out and they've said that weekend they've shuffled things up a little bit as far as dates for the season. If I remember correctly, I know that it's in the first round of the playoffs. I'm pretty sure that's actually the cutoff race, too, for that first round when you whittle down from 16 drivers to 12 in the playoffs. So there's going to be a lot of interest there, A, just because it's a road course race, B, it's the Roval, so it's all happening within that regular oval at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, so that's going to be a little bit interesting, first time running there with the stock cars. And at the same time, you have this championship picture becoming more and more clear and pieces falling into place and people getting cut and seeing their hopes of a championship go away when the day's said and done. So it's going to happen. Who knows in a few years when they're going to look over which tracks have what dates on the schedule. Maybe we end up seeing a different road course in the playoffs or maybe even a couple more dates. But as of right now, this is something that some fans have been asking for a while, and it looks like it's going to be the reality next year.
So I'm kind of curious is whether that's fair to the teams to have a track that they've never been to in the playoffs. I mean, it almost seems counterintuitive that maybe they should try that earlier in the season before the playoffs, because I mean that could shake up somebody's championship in a hurry, especially with it being a cutoff race.
Well, that's a fair point. I'd be surprised if there isn't. I'd be surprised if there isn't an opportunity for at least some of the teams, whether that be all of the cars or the organizations individually, to get one of those rare test sessions there. I know that A.J. Allmendinger did some laps for, I'm pretty sure it was a tire test there, and maybe there were a couple of others. But beyond that, I mean, that's the variable that you find not just in this sport, but all sports. Everybody prepares to race at, Kansas and Pocono and whatnot, but when that track gets repaved, the next time you go there, if that happens to be done over the summer and it falls in the playoffs like it did with Kansas, you got to figure it out and you have to figure it out quick. think about football. Everybody has a nice game plan, and then you go out in January to play a playoff game, and there might be 3 feet of snow on the ground. And that's obviously going to change how you approach things, but you just have to work around it.
That is a fair point. Very, very good point. One last story I wanted to get your comment on. Stuart Haas says they're not going to be picking up the option for Kurt Busch. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's really interesting because they did let the there was a deadline earlier this week. They let that lapse, so they don't have in black and white that they're going to have Kurt Busch next year. But something that threw everybody for a loop was the team tweeted, "Well, we expect to have Kurt Busch back next year." So, okay, well, how do you reconcile those two things together? It sounds like they're trying to negotiate a different deal, one that works more for the team, potentially the sponsors. Obviously, there's no certainty in that, but it would be very interesting if Kurt Busch is not back in that car next year, well, and who that could potentially open the door for if he isn't.
Absolutely, because I think that Cole Custer is still another year away. I mean, he's doing amazing things, but I think he's still another year away, and he's going to wind up on that team somewhere. And it's interesting because my thoughts were really, of course, you know, he'd wind up in Danica Patrick's car. But, you know, she's got, you know, on the economic side, she's got the money, you know, to really bring in some sponsors. But it'll be very interesting to watch that. But how can the listeners follow your work?
I am on Twitter at TylerHead24, and also you can follow the Racing Experts on Twitter, and you can go to theracingexperts.com and see what we're writing up each weekend. I happen to be in this weekend, but they've got a whole team of people that get out most weekends to these races and do a fine job getting some good pictures and getting some good stories to go with them, too.
Awesome. Hey, Tyler, I really appreciate you joining the show this morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Tyler Head, one of the staff members and writers for theracingexperts.com. You can check them out online. They've typically got a team at most of the tracks this season, including I'm going to be going out to Bristol and reporting for them, and Dominic will be sitting in this chair. So we're going to switch roles in a couple of weeks and bring you some insight from Bristol, Tennessee. All right, we've got a whole lot more coming up, including we're going to talk a little open wheel on the next segment. You've been listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 117 The Team.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN, Albuquerque 1017 The Team.
Technology drives even our vehicles today. Modern transmissions are specialized with computers to maximize efficiency and performance. My dad, Hector, started Universal Transmission over 20 years ago, providing the highest level of service. We still pride ourselves on that today. Whether it's your daily driver or four-wheel drive, is a check engine light or transmission slipping or popping out of gear, please stop in before it breaks. Universal Transmission on Northern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, or call 896-0555. UniversalTransNM.com.
Albuquerque Trackway's 2017 season is off to a fast start. At Gearwood Performance's Street to Strip, you can bring your car out for street legal drags and test and tune time trails for only $20. With over 50 events, including two all-out call-outs and thrilling side-by-side action through November. Go to abqdragway.com for a 2017 schedule now. Real Outlaw Door Slammers, Top Comp, Super Pro, Sportsmen's and Junior Dragsters. The 2017 season is underway. Don't miss a single minute. abqdragway.com. See you there. abqdragway.com.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be a locally owned and family-operated mortgage company. Our home office is here, so your loan is processed locally, and you will always talk with the same people who are familiar with your loan from application to funding. Our loan officers live and work here and are commissioned, which means they work hard for you and not the bank, and they always have your best interest in mind. It makes sense, because if they can't get your loan done, they're not compensated. We encourage borrowers to shop their loan around, but please be sure sure to include a trusted local lender like Indigo Mortgage, because as a mortgage broker, we offer every loan program available on the market with equal or better terms and rates than that of big banks or out-of-state lenders. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. On the net at indigomortgage.net or call 836-5700. That's 836-5700 and NMLS number 188-348.
I hate my job,
but I don't mind getting up in the morning.
I dread each day,
but I can't wait to get out of bed.
You ask me why,
and what I'll say to you is true. Well, you can get breakfast tacos at Rudy's Barbecue. Scrambled eggs and brisket, they ain't fooling around. Sausage wraps, son, they're the best in town. Barbecue for breakfast, yes, it's true. Put a smile on your morning at Rudy's Barbecue.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides. With monthly full-color features, such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up a copy at any Napa stores in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Los Lunas, Boleyn, and even Socorro. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car has made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite for over 6 years. Pick up the latest copy today.
Hey Albuquerque, this is Graham Rahal, driver of the number 15 Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing Honda, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Slope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque, 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Let's talk a little open wheel. Joseph Newgarden dominated at Mid-Ohio to rack up his second straight win of 2017. Of course, one of the four drivers over at Penske that are dominating 1, 2, 4, and 5 in the points. Only split by Scott Dixon, who, of course, defending champion. But Joseph Newgarden with 453 points over Helio Castroneves, 446. It was an impressive run. Team Penske drivers led 73 of 90 laps on the 2.258-mile Mid-Ohio road course to get it done. And we'll see how that rolls over. Local favorite Graham Rahal finished third in the number 15 Stake and Shake Honda for Rahal Letterman Langren Racing. And so it would have been neat to see that getting it done. But that team continues to dig, sitting sixth in points. And I'm not sure if they can get through the juggernaut that is Penske Racing. But let's talk a little Formula One as well. Sebastian Vettel got it done over his teammate Kimi Raikkonen, and it was very interesting in that race because Raikkonen was absolutely positive, as every race car driver is absolutely positive, he was faster and wanted to let him by. On the flip side, Lewis Hamilton, they did let him by Bottas, and so sitting in points, and of course, right at the end of the race, it was almost precarious when he tried to let Bottas back to get that third place spot and get some more points. Sebastian Vettel sitting at 202 points. Lewis Hamilton, 188, both with four victories. It's going to be a battle down there. But sneaking into the picture, Valtteri Bottas with 169 points and two victories. Now listen to this. Both Vettel and Hamilton, 10 top fives and 11 top tens. No poles for either one of them, which is absolutely phenomenal, but getting it done. And that's actually not accurate. They both have poles, so I should double-check my stats here. Sitting in fourth is Daniel Ricciardo at 117 points. Awfully aggressive move when Verstappen and Ricciardo got together in that race. So it's going to be phenomenal to see what's going on. A lot of beating and banging, and we'll see how it plays out for the rest of the season. But coming on the other side, we're going to be talking a little bit more racing. A local father and son, the Dons, are going to be joining us. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 1017 The Team.
Hi, this is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500.
You've been listening to David Slope of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio 1017, The Team.
Janice Lucero from MVD Express. And that would be the parent of a teenage soon-to-be driver. Thanks to MVD Express, one part that isn't scary is the graduated licensing. From the written test through the three P's, permit, provisional, and permanent licenses. MVD Express makes the process easy. So take some of the drama out of teen driving. Some of it.
MVD Express, get down.
Not all MVD stores are created equal. Look for the big green sign. Locations including Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Alameda. Visit MVDExpress.com.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been the home for Go Fast Parts, giving you the edge on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Got auto plumbing problems? They have all the hoses and fittings you need. Yearwood is also the home for the car capsule. Yearwood Performance, New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop. Now, for a limited time, Yearwood is open Sundays on the west side, 9674 Eagle Ranch Road. Buy local, save time and money. Yearwoodperformance.com.
Next Radio presents Live FM Radio versus Buffering.
Oh, this will be awesome. Come on, you big stud.
And they're off.
Wait, how are you getting that?
This is Live with my Next Radio app I downloaded today.
No, really, stop. I'm not there yet. I'm still hearing the announcers babbling on about the track conditions.
Go, 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 go! All right! Winner, winner, time for dinner! Woohoo!
Yay!
Don't let Live pass you by. Get the Next Radio app now. It's your favorite local FM stations over the air. No stream required. And when the data network goes down, you can still listen, no problem. Don't miss your favorite sporting events, music, news, whatever. Live as it happens.
Yeah. Great.
Skip the buffer. Skip buffering. And get the free Next Radio app today.
Next Radio.
Make El Bruno's Restaurante and Cantina your choice for lunch or dinner and the very best in New Mexican cuisine. Sip on a margarita and let El Bruno's menu take you from the freshest made-at-your-table guacamole anywhere to their authentic New Mexican dishes and even steaks and chops. You will love the decor and the atmosphere. Take advantage of their patio seating for your next special event. El Bruno's even does catering. El Bruno's Restaurante and Cantina, born in Cuba, New Mexico, and now growing in the North Valley at 8806 4th Street, or visit elbrunos.com.
What does it take to become a winner? You need speed, skill, a team that's got your back, and a whole lot of know-how. That's Napa Know-How.
You could win $1 million at Route 66 this August. Every Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m., five winners will win guaranteed cash up to $1 million in our summer sizzle, only at Route 66 Casino Hotel.
The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone calls at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
Hi, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report. We're on ESPN Radio 101.7, the team. Coming up on deck, FM Sports Saturday. Looks like Steve Davis is going to sit in for Marty Watts. That should be a treat. 10 a.m., you got the Henry T. Show. 2 p.m., we're going to join the red-hot L.A. Dodgers versus the New York Mets. And then, of course, on Sunday, you can catch them at 6 p.m. as the Dodgers also play the New York Mets for that. All right, so if you want to find out all the cool things that are going on around New Mexico, make sure you pick up a free copy of the New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine. That's New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine. All kinds of great features in there, including a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. You can pick up a copy at any Napa store in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, Las Lunas, Belen, and down in Socorro. Great contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car. Pick one up today and find out why New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine has been a local favorite for over 7 years. Get your free copy today. All right, so joining us in the studio is Wim and Cody Dons. How you guys doing this morning?
Not too bad, you.
So I tell you, you know, I wish that I had a cam in here because there is a chasm between the two of them, you know? And, oh, no, okay, all right. But what I want to do is one of the neat things is, one, I want to catch up on what Cody's got going on this summer on the track. But I also am, being a, you know, from a father and son racing group, I always like to kind of, you know, talk about similar stories. And one of the things I wanted to ask you guys is, and as specifically Cody, does your dad always, you know, tell you to take it easy and make sure to protect the equipment when you first get there? And then after the first thing go, why are you going so slow?
He likes to tell me how to race a lot, in all honesty. And it, you know, I take pointers to a certain extent, and then afterwards I start getting a little irritated. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, everything's constructive criticism, and, you know, you kind of have to listen because you're not standing outside of the car seeing what other people are doing. You're only in your car, and you can only see what your car is doing. So
absolutely. Well, because, you know, we were, you know, is it, you know, father and son, and, you know, we don't have a ton of sponsorship, which was none. Basically, it was always about keeping the car in one play, in one piece, and getting it back on the trailer, including one time up at La Junta. My dad and I went, and we were both racing a 911 the same weekend, right? So my dad reminds me, as, you know, because, you know, through the whole weekend, it's like, why are you going so slow, right? And then we get to the race, and he goes, remember, put it on the trailer in one piece. So, I mean, I'm just curious, Wim, are you always reminding him to keep the car in one piece?
I try to. It is, it's kind of tough to tell a racer to back off.
Oh, it is tough.
And, yes, try to bring it back in one piece, but if the challenge is there, well, do what you can do.
Well, absolutely. So, on that weekend with my dad in La Junta, he tells me to put it back on the trailer, and so, of course, I finish it. Then he runs the next race, and he doesn't put it back on the trailer in one piece. So, I it's just one of those stories. I just want to stand for the record. So, I mean, Cody, what's your thoughts on that?
It happens, you know. I mean,
we've been fortunate.
Yeah.
We've been really fortunate.
Well,
we tried to race clean.
Yeah.
And if you race clean, you know, usually you don't have any problems, damage-wise and everything else. So I always try to remind them of that.
Well, and I think that's a very good point. Tell us what you're up to this summer. I mean, you running mini sprints, or what are you driving this summer?
Trying to run a mini sprint, but we've been having motor issues, getting motors in and all that stuff. So I ran one race, and that was, when was it? It was about a month ago. Or it was up in Grants, and I was fortunate to actually be able to win that race.
Awesome.
You know, we had everything rolling around. Everything was good. It was a two-day race, and we weren't able to race the second race, but at least I got, you know, first race back, you know, win. It felt really good. Bring the hopes back, you know.
What kind of power plant do you run in a mini sprint?
We run a R6 600 street bike motor. You know, chain driven, all that good stuff. There's really nothing special, carburetors. But you can, of course, go more into detail about that stuff. People do, you know, they do anything from, help me out here.
It's called a multi. They can
port
polish. They can put, you know, angler injection on them. I mean, they get pretty wild with these things.
Is that what's maybe leading to the issues with the motor? Or is it just, you know, that what do you think might be the issue with the motors?
Well, the real issue is the things. A lot of people pull too much RPM out of them.
Ah, okay.
And if you over rev them or back them up and you spin them backwards, you have problems with them. And so, if you go over your limit, of course, these things explode, and of course, everybody wants to be right on that limit.
Well, that's why we race, right?
Right.
I had one time asked me a motor builder. He said, "Well, I can build you, you know, a motor that'll last a long time, or I could build you a motor to win. I mean, which one do you want?" And I thought that was the stupidest question I ever heard. I said, "Well, what's the price difference?" And he said, "Oh, about $400." And I'm like, "Well, give me what you got." And we did go out and win the third race. So right. I mean. It was no problem, but, you know, I was kind of, you know, thinking is, what kind of, I mean, RPMs are you turning in them, and what kind of speeds?
Okay, we're roughly turning a stock motor out of a bike at around 15, 15.2, When they start getting rebuilt, they go up, you know, a couple hundred RPM. Now you get into the multi stuff, the high stuff. We're talking 16. I've heard up to 18,000 RPM, but I'm not too sure about that. But
well, you say that, and immediately I think problems. That's a lot of RPM.
A lot of RPM.
That is a lot of RPM, and we're talking what, quarter mile tracks?
Well,
eighth mile tracks.
Eighth mile all the way to three quarter.
It varies.
3/8.
Wow.
There's you know, there's little tracks.
Yeah.
Like Sandia. And then you got the bigger tracks like, you know, Sandia or Grants or anything like that. So right. It kind of just varies between the tracks.
Wow. And do you guys run wings on the
we can run non-wing and wing.
How much difference in downforce is it between the wing and non-wing?
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit?
Oh, yeah. You can feel it when you're going down the straightaway. You can feel the car start sucking to the ground. It's pretty ridiculous feeling, actually.
Is there a difference in RPM that you run on them, too? Because, you know, you've got less downforce without the...
We change gearing.
Oh, okay. So you want to... You're pushing it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you don't get into mini sprints knowing that you're just going to run a motor for six seasons.
Well, we have a motor right now in one of our cars, and we have 79 races on it.
Wow.
But then we put a motor in another car, and it lasted half a heat race.
Okay.
So I mean, it just varies.
Well, and I know exactly what you mean. I mean, we ran I think two seasons on one of the motors that I had. Of course, we weren't turning. It was at 1600 cc. We weren't turning that kind of RPM anywhere close. But we had one that we just could never. I mean, it was like trouble after trouble, leaking oil, this, that, and the other thing. We finally threw it away and put another one in there, and boy, life was a lot better. We won a championship, actually, after we got rid of the other one. But it's just phenomenal how some just, you know, I mean, and it's sometimes unexplainable because your driving style doesn't really change. I mean, you might go to a different track, so you have a different gear, so that might change. But for the most part, sometimes I just think, it's a miracle, actually, that they work. So, but anyway, do you have anything on the docket, or is there other forms of racing that maybe you'd like to try in your future?
I'm actually a pretty big fan of Formula One, especially after going to Spa.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, so, of course, Stuart Haas is hiring.
Yeah. Well, if he's listening to this, I would love to be hired.
Yeah, you are a little tall. I mean, those guys are what, about, you know, 5 foot flat?
Yeah, probably. Not no 6'3", I can tell you that much.
Wow, I tell you what. What are you guys eating? Are you guys having cake? All right, well, this is Adam's last day. He's going to ASU, so I want to give him a shout-out before the show's over, and I hope there's cake left because you don't do that. Okay, I got the double thumbs up. But thank you, Adam, for sitting in, and, of course, thank you, Kelly and Brooke, for everything that you guys do to allow me to be the star. Yeah, anyway, I got a face for radio. But anyway, we got another show coming up next week. Tune in every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you missed a show, of course, you can always go online and listen to any of the shows on demand. Thank you guys for coming in this morning. Wish you luck on your next motor, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon. You've been listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report here with David Swope on ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team.
Hey Albuquerque, this is Joey Logano, driver of number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report presented by Napa Auto Parts, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.